Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Our Conversation, the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues around the world. I'm Tim Smith, and as you'd expect, we'll continue to focus on how the business is responding to the coronavirus outbreak. Just a quick reminder for you, we're all linked here remotely for this edition, so you may notice a slight difference in the sound quality. On the line, though, is Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, hello. Nice to speak to you again. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Tim. Good to speak to you again.
And also joining us this time is Ben Hudson, who joined the company in January as Chief Technology Officer. Ben, hello.
Hi, Tim.
Now, Charles, on our last podcast, we were in the early stages of lockdown. Now, of course, we're a bit more accustomed to what I guess is the new normal. How have you settled into not being in the office, not meeting friends, certainly not face to face, not seeing all of your family, and working under very different conditions?
Well, I think, Tim, it's certainly fair to say that the personal and working life is very different. On the one hand, it's been great to spend more time with my immediate family, but at the same time, being apart from wider family, parents, brothers and sisters, and indeed friends as well. I mean, some of my cycling friends, for example. And it is definitely very different. I think I've been doing my best to stay in touch with close family, but it's just something I think we're all having to work through.
Let me bring Ben into the conversation now. Hello again, Ben. I imagine you've had a fairly interesting few months, given that your new role as a Chief Technology Officer hasn't been going that long. How are you settling in?
It's been great to join Charles and the team here and really get out and see the sights in the UK. I've had a very interesting last month, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later on, but been doing some really interesting work with the company that's really seen, allowed me to see the company from a different perspective, working up close and personal with people on some of the activities to support our NHS and the UK government at the moment. So it's been great, Tim. Really, really glad I've made the transition and joined Charles and the team here in BAE.
Okay, Ben, thank you for that. Well, it's nice to have you on this edition of the podcast. Charles, let me come back to you. Tough question, this. Given the scale and indeed global nature of the business, can you give us a kind of broad overview of how the business is responding to the pandemic and indeed what impact it's having at the moment?
I think it's fair to say that the employees, I mean, I've been really amazed and impressed by the strong sense of purpose and commitment in our company and how that comes through in the way people are responding to this. You know, the company behaviours are very much coming to the fore. We're seeing lots of adaptability, creativity, just in the way that we're working and the way people are going about supporting their colleagues, customers, and indeed the communities in which we operate. We went into this pandemic situation in a strong position in the sense that we had a large order backlog underpinned by long-term government contracts across a wide international customer base. And it means that, we didn't see much impact actually in Q1. But, as the pandemic continues, we inevitably are going to start seeing more disruptions. And indeed, that's what we are seeing. So we're across the group implementing some cost control measures just to make sure that we keep a very close eye on discretionary spending. We also announced that we're deferring a decision on the final dividend payment for 2019 until later in the year. But I think it's worth reflecting for all the employees that listen to this that we are in a strong position, but we have to be prudent, we have to be careful and recognize that these are unprecedented times and indeed the future and the scenarios of how this plays out and the impacts on the business are at this point very uncertain. So the business reviews that we undertook and the integrated business planning process that will be underway this year is very much looking at how we manage the business set against the backdrop of a number of different scenarios from, a relatively quick recovery to a more prolonged impact on the business. And I think in the meantime, it's worth reflecting that the most important action that our employees can take is just to keep up the great work that they're doing, remain focused on delivering for our customers in the most efficient and valuable ways. And I think that is the answer for all seasons here. And I think it's something that, we as a management team want to support and enable in every way that we can.
Okay, Charles, for the moment, thank you. Well, for those people who need to be working on site, safety is clearly the number one priority. Joining us now is Mark Cook, Head of Operations at Barrow in England. Mark, welcome to the podcast. Tell us first then about your working environment and also the steps you've taken to ensure colleagues can work on the Astute submarine program safely.
So normal operation, so pre-COVID, would be around 2,000 employees, and that's run over a 24-hour period. So where possible, we've looked at enabling working from home. We've also looked at the build line arrangements and how we actually undertake the build of the vessels and how we are breaking the tasks down. We're pushing across all employees what our class is stop, safe, raise. If they feel they have a concern, they absolutely are empowered to stop what they are doing and raise the concern. And there's various means that they can do that, mainly starting with line management. We also have a number of SHE professionals on site that can contact a SHE hotline that they can phone through if there's any concerns that they wish to discuss one-to-one and perhaps get in touch with some more professional people from either a safety perspective or a human resources perspective as well.
Mark, are there any lessons learned in terms of your new measures that could be helpful to others across the group?
Mine will be communicate, communicate, communicate. And I think if I break that down as to communicate, listen and alter. Talk with the employees, talk with the people that you're going to interact with and tasks that need to be done. There's two forms of communication. One is obviously speaking, the other one is listening as well. So ensure that as you go through these communication activities, you are listening to the feedback that you're getting. And that is absolutely key in terms of employee engagement and listen to concerns that people may have or different ideas that people may have, and then act on that.
And I know that recently you delivered Boat 4. How did this significant milestone feel?
It's an immense sense of pride and a number of years hard work. We sit on a peninsula here in Barrow, and there's a lot of community spirit that gets employed around here. And normally, over the 26 years I've been here, both delivery in submarines and surface vessels, you normally see the shorelines of the Barrow Peninsula lined with people waving the submarine goodbye. It's definitely the first time I can remember, and perhaps the first time I've ever heard of, where we haven't been able to do that. But I do feel that people still feel an immense sense of pride in terms of what we've delivered.
Well, congratulations on that, and thank you for joining us on the podcast, Mark. Next, let's go to the US. We're joined now by Dennis Hancock, Product Line Director for Combat Mission Systems at the York, Pennsylvania manufacturing site. Dennis, hello. Tell us first of all about your operations and also the measures that you've taken to ensure people can operate safely.
Hi, Tim. Our facility is rather unique. On a daily basis, we're tracking between 2,000 and 2,100 personnel for the York facility. You have to understand or have an image in your head of 1 million square feet under roof. And because of that, we put nearly half of our workforce off-site into remote from work. The challenge here is how do you spread people out? One of the things we've done is to target high clustered environments. So we staggered shifts. And that doesn't sound very exciting, but when you talk about normally, we'll put 600 people through our turnstiles in 30 minutes every morning. In this environment, you can't do that anymore. So we had to close down turnstiles, spread out the start of work for all the different employees and different groups in order to get smaller, more manageable groups of people going in and out. The other thing we did also is we've created 10 isolation zones, which keep people even further cloistered or removed from others. It's those types of things and those creativities that have led to creating the safest possible environment as we could.
And how have colleagues reacted and adapted to new ways of working? And what lessons can you share with others across the group?
We've been met with a strong level of understanding and support from all the employees, both working remote or, more importantly, the ones that still have to come in today as essential employees. We can never do enough to reduce the anxiety or nervousness, but what we can do is always meet those anxieties and questions with open, forthright, and difficult conversations. And if we're all learning, we all have to be listening and sharing with each other. That's the largest lesson learned, I would say, is to listen and to be open and to be dynamic and changing.
I understand also you recently received the full rate production contract for the M109A7 mobile howitzer for the US Army. How does that feel?
To receive this important milestone is a very strong vote of confidence. The United States government, through the Department of Defense and even more so through the United States Army, depends on BAE Systems, the York facility, and combat mission systems to provide a capability to the United States Army, whether it's developing, manufacturing, fielding, or maintaining their combat vehicle needs and fleet. And the way I felt is very simple. It shows that when you work together, not only as a business, but with your customer, that a lot of things are very possible.
Dennis, thanks very much indeed for joining us on this edition of our conversation. Charles, I know you were listening to that. It sounds like there's an incredible amount of work going on across the business to implement new ways of working and to help people operate safely.
You're absolutely right, Tim. So I wanted to take the opportunity just to thank Mark and Dennis and the many, many others who are helping us to implement these measures across our sites and get people safely back to work. Those are good examples from both Mark and Dennis, and they show the significant changes we're putting into place. And there are also around the business some very good examples of where we're using technology to help us work differently. So one example of that I heard recently that I thought was very interesting was in our Typhoon training facility at RAF bases, where we're actually using cameras to create remote viewing facilities for any activity that needs a third party or secondary inspection. So things like that, where we're trying to reduce the need of people coming in and working in close proximity by using technology to do that, I think is, we'll see more widespread use of those. And I think that's going to be very important for us going forward. I've said before on the video messages, but it is absolutely true that my top priority is the safety of our people. And that is also true for the broader management team. And we'll never ask anyone to do something that isn't safe. But at the same time, our customers are relying on us to continue to provide critical capabilities to help the armed forces and the governments protect national security. And that is an incredibly important mission. And I know from my discussions with our government customers and ministers how incredibly grateful they've been for our continued support through these difficult times. So I'm equally grateful for the significant efforts from the employees in the group that have made that possible. It's been a massive ongoing team effort. People are adapting quickly to the new ways of working, pulling together to ensure that we can continue to deliver on our commitments. So just once again, I just want to say thank you to everyone for their fantastic efforts.
Okay, Charles, thank you for that. Coming next, a look at how the company is supporting frontline health and care workers.
Our conversation.
Well, Ben Hudson, the Chief Technology Officer, is still with us. Ben, as we know, there's been unprecedented global demand for PPE. Tell us how BAE Systems is helping with that.
Thanks, Tim. I think this some of the work that we've done to support the health services around the world is some of the work that I think we can be most proud of. We've seen around the world governments and healthcare providers are really working incredibly hard to establish effective supply chains that can deal with the sheer requirement of an amount of personal protective equipment. We've had requests around the world, and I guess a few of the notable ones are our platform and services team in the US were contacted in the state of New York and very quickly put together a package of up to 3,000 Tyvek coverall suits that were donated to the healthcare professionals there. One of the really memorable ones was a contact we had from a doctor in the Barrow region, and they were in a position where they were printing their own 3D face shields to provide protection for them, and they asked if we could help. And really, the reaction I saw from the company was absolutely first rate. Within 72 hours of that call, a small team had worked to design a new face shield and put it on our high-volume 3D printers up in Samlesbury. And we delivered within 72 hours of that request the first systems or first face shields to protect those people in Barrow. We then really followed up on that in a huge way, and we purchased new systems using our supply chain capabilities. We ramped up our 3D printing capability and was producing and have been producing about 300 a day. That's still ongoing. And then we worked with a supplier in the Midlands to produce a more high volume face shield. And those face shields are now being donated around the country. As of today, we've donated 90,000. And there'll be 150,000 we'll donate by early May.
And Ben, I also hear that you have a team that have designed and produced a ventilator and having to work long hours to do that. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a real wonderful story. So a small team at our Guildford facility out of Applied Intelligence, once they'd heard the request from Boris Johnson about ventilators, started some quiet sort of stealth activity to develop their own ventilator. I came into the project about a week or so after they'd started, and it was pretty clear to me that they had a fairly unique capability that they'd developed. And what I saw was a guy called Mark Bennett, who's one of the senior engineers and actually head strategy for Applied Intelligence. There was a clear leader with a real passion to make this happen. And so we formed a team around Mark and brought in our maritime services team to take this ventilator, which we ended up calling AirCare, through a design and development process and get it into production in under a month. The team worked over the first 3 weeks of the program. The team worked every day without a day off. I think there was five occasions where the team worked through the night, went home at 6:30 a.m. in the morning, got a few hours sleep and came back and kept going at it. Really a spirit of responding to a national emergency. The great news that the NHS is coping better is means that we won't take ultimately the AirCare ventilator forward into service, but it remains there as a tribute and testament to our team. And should things go or become worse again, we stand in a good spot to help the NHS, the UK government, or people internationally as well. Yeah, real thanks from me to the Applied Intelligence team out of Guildford and the work they've done. Stu Frizzell, Mark Bennett, the whole team there. Maritime Services, Dom Carr, John Penny, the whole manufacturing team, and Steve Parnell on the purchasing side. And then up in Hill End in Edinburgh, where we put the circuit cards together for the ventilator. So for me, been fantastic. Funnily enough, it's been a great part of my induction to get to know really the culture of the company in a way that as the CTO, perhaps I wouldn't have got a chance to do otherwise, and really roll my sleeves up and work as a program manager with the team to help them through this whole program. Something I think we should all be proud of.
And Charles, you must be incredibly proud listening to that and knowing what you know of the way that colleagues have risen to this challenge so quickly. Some amazing efforts going on.
Well, indeed, Tim. And I had the pleasure and indeed privilege to visit virtually the teams in both Broadoak and Guildford as they were working on the AirCare ventilator. And it was a wonderful opportunity to engage and thank them personally for their incredible efforts. And I could not be more impressed by their adaptability, creativity and drive to help save lives. It's simply an outstanding team effort and a genuinely excellent example of our company behaviours in action. It made me very proud indeed. Great news that the government doesn't actually need the ventilators that they thought they might do a few weeks ago. Based on the evolving understanding of how to tackle COVID-19 patients, and we are very keen that we see that trend continue, and that the demand for ventilators in hospitals doesn't get overwhelmed. But for me, knowing our team was there working round the clock at a moment of national need is a source of enormous pride for me. So, I'm keen that we do share more on the AirCare ventilator story over the coming weeks and, really harness some of those lessons learned as a best practice example of collaboration in some really difficult and challenging times. It's a couple of times when I spoke to Ben about this, we were just reflecting that this was a 3-year development cycle, is the time it would normally take to design, engineer and qualify a piece of sophisticated medical equipment. And we were trying to do that in 3 weeks. I mean, it was an absolutely tremendous challenge. And I think the team came through it with absolute flying colours. So I could not be more proud of their efforts.
OK, coming up, a question from you.
Our conversation.
OK, let's turn to a colleague question then. Here it comes.
Hi, this is Jo Hayward from Head Office in Farnborough. Charles, coronavirus is changing everyone's lives and affecting people in different ways and at different times. What do you think we can do to support colleagues and help each other through this difficult time?
I think from my perspective, and almost coming back to my opening remarks, everyone's situation is different, but everyone is being impacted by this pandemic in some way. We've all recognized now it's going to take some time for lives to return to how they were. So, you know, first and foremost, my thoughts are with all those people who've suffered from this, you know, terrible virus. They're looking after or concerned about family members who might be unwell, and in particular, those who've sadly lost family and friends. The company has a range of different channels to help people, and I'd encourage everyone to use them. I'd also encourage people to speak up if you're having a bad day. Your colleagues are there for you. You know, they'll reach out for you and they'll support you. Many of us take our energy and motivation from being around others, you know, the office environment, talking to, colleagues who in many cases are friends, and those interactions. And it's very easy to miss those. But I think that the efforts that people are making to communicate, to reach out, to talk are so important in these times. I've also seen some great ideas that teams are coming up with to stay connected and spend time with others informally, you know, virtual quizzes, fitness challenges, drinks meetings in the evening with colleagues. I mean, I've heard of a number of things that are happening that to try and at least keep those connections alive, which are so important to people's sense of well-being. So let's, all of us take time and remember to make time to create the moments where we can continue to support and help each other through these very difficult times.
And Ben, anything you'd like to add to that? Because clearly Joe's question covers a wide range of issues, doesn't it?
We're all becoming a lot more tolerant. And as we work from home, we all have different challenges. I myself have a 3 and a 7-year-old at home. My wife and I are trying to do homeschooling while she's working, and I am as well. My team's been very tolerant of me as we go through all of that. I often have a 3-year-old on a phone call with me. But I think everyone has their different challenges, and we all have to make sure that we are tolerant and understand the other person on the other end of the call as we move through all of this, and we help and support each other. I think one of the things I'd like to maybe finish with, I guess from my side, is just to read out a small note to you, which really sums up what I'm learning from this whole episode, but also is a huge reflection of how great this company is that we all work in. So in every one of these boxes of face shields, you can imagine when they open up by an NHS nurse or doctor or worker, we had on the top of the box a small note. And the note simply says, "Thank you for taking care of us." From all of us at BAE System. I think there's no better way to show those that are caring for us right now that we stand with them in this fight against the coronavirus.
And I think that's a lovely point at which to stop this edition of the podcast. As ever, of course, and particularly in these challenging times, if you've got a question or indeed any updates that you'd like to share with us, with Charles or with Ben, or indeed any other executives from the business, do drop us a line, please, to our conversation at baesystems.com. That's our conversation at baesystems.com. On the next edition of Our Conversation, we will, of course, have more information about the coronavirus situation and the latest news from across the business. Until then, though, from me, Tim Smith, from Ben Hudson and Charles Woodburn, it's thanks for listening, stay safe, and goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.